the word is coming from Isaiah the 14th chapter, the 24th to the 27th verse. The title of our sermon is The Assyrians Fall, The Fall of the Assyrians. And our scripture reading came from John the 9th chapter and the 4th verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night coming when no man can work. And in the Amplified version, it says we. And what Jesus says to one, he says to all. And we're to exemplify, we're to do the works that he did. The same works he did that he gave us to do, and even greater works that he given us to do. That 14th chapter, the 24th verse, he reads, if he has taken an oath to do it, for this is his purpose and plan. I have decided to break the Assyrian army when they are in Israel and to crush them on my mountains. My people shall no longer be their slaves. This is my plan for the whole earth. I will do it by my mighty power that reaches everywhere around the world. The Lord, the God of battle, has spoken. Who can change his plans when his hand moves? Who can stop him? Now we see here God's purpose, and like I said, we were birthed into the family of God for a purpose, and God does everything for a purpose. And there is a plan, whether we know of or understand the plan or not. God has a plan. Isaiah in the 14th chapter had started this, and he was talking about the Babylonians, God's destruction of the ultimate destructions of the Babylonians. Now chapter the starting at the 23rd verse, 20 through the 27th verse, he talks about the destruction of the Assyrians. After that verse, the 28th verse, he begins to talks about the destruction of the Philistines, of the Philistinians. In the next chapter, he starts talking about Moab. So Isaiah goes through there, and we would see that in that 23rd verse where he says this is his purpose throughout the whole world. In other words, judging the world, the destruction of the world. And that's his plan. He says, this is my plan for the whole earth. I will do it by my mighty power that reaches everywhere around the world. So we see his messenger, Jesus Christ, came talking about the destruction of this world, the world as we know it, the removal of those things in this world. So the Father was doing the work. He's talking about destroying the Assyrians. Now, remember I tell you about the Bible, it's a lot of times it's metaphors, it's types, it's anti-types. The Assyrians, if we read them in the Old Testament, they was a type of people. There was an actual nation, but there were some strong people. They had characteristics that God could use. God used those characteristics of the Assyrians for his purpose. And everything is created for a purpose. Just like he told Pharaoh, he had created Pharaoh for the purpose of destroying him, for destruction. So why are we here? God had created us for a purpose, and through faith we find out what that purpose is. Through the hearing of faith, we come to know what our purpose in life is or whatever. So, why did God use the Assyrians to chasten his people? And is that a type of the people that we have today, of certain people or people groups today? We know from the New Testament that there's no Greek, Scythian, a barbarian, no male or female in Christ Jesus. So anyone could fall into these specific people types. In other words, it's typical of anyone with these characteristics. If you're not part of the family of God, you're part of this creation that God had created for certain reasons, and they're carrying out their purposes while they're here. And that's why you see certain people doing certain things, and you wonder, why is they doing that? Well, that's what they were created for. They're brute beasts. They're That's what their nature is. And unless converted, unless hearing the word of God and being regenerated, born again, born into the family of God, they continue along that same line with all men, that all men were created equal and all returned to dust, as we, our sermon said last week, except those that God grants eternal life. There's a certain group that God had chosen from the foundations of the world to be holy and to receive eternal life. So why did he choose the Assyrians? We know God's people had started to disobey God and they didn't keep his statutes and his laws. So he needed someone to punish his people. Just like you the authority as a parent over your children or whatever, with the discipline and raise your children, just like the different governments of this world, it's a reason he given us the government in which we has. It's a reason the government in China is in China. Wherever the government, there's no power or authority that's in power that God hadn't ordained or placed into power. God has them there for a reason and a purpose. The Assyrian were intolerant and oppressive people. Do any of us have those characteristics? Do we see those characteristics within people within the nation today? Intolerant and oppressive. Yes, we do. We see it in America and throughout the world. We see that there are a bunch of intolerant and oppressive people. In the book of Nahum, it says, Nahum 3:19, it says, there is no relief and no healing for your hurt. He's talking to the Assyrian. Your wound is incurable, and all who hear the news about you clap their hands over what has happened to you, for on whom your unceasing evil has not continually come. You've been oppressive to people. You don't tolerate others doing things. You're not a very tolerant person. And when God brings this destruction upon you, people will rejoice. They was rejoicing and was glad of the removal of the Assyrians. If we look today, me and my son was talking this morning when he came by about this thing at Mount Rushmore that the president did yesterday or whatever. But if you read the history and the background of that and why the Native Americans was protesting that or whatever, is that they had signed with the United States government that was Indian, that was Native American territory. That was through the government that was signed. Because, you know, the government had came in and taken all these lands and this stuff from the Indians and placed them on a reservation and gave them certain portions of land. They call themselves magnanimous in that, but the arrogancy, the hardiness of that, that's why, you know, you see the statue of Christopher Columbus being dragged and destroyed, and they removed Columbus Day. Is it, how did you discover a nation if you came there and found people there? And then you destroyed that native, that indigenous people to that land and called them savages and placed them on a reservation. But then you made a deal with them, and within that deal, Mount Rushmore is sacred ground to those Indian people. Whereas then a member of the, you would have to read it. There's an article if you want it printed out. I didn't print it out, but I could print it out for those of you who want to read the article. But through secular history, you can read and study a lot of it about the decline of the American world and how this protest and what's going on is lining up in end times. And we see God has called his people out of Babylon, because as we get knowledge of what's going on in the world and just what it is, we don't want to be like our parents, our forefathers, anybody else. We want to be much better than them. Notice that a parent always wants his child to better himself, to be much better than he is. So we want to progress away from what happened then. And to them, that stands for something very wrong. It's against the law for to have that fireworks display and all those things going on there. It says other countries are used to loathing the America, or admiring America, or fearing America, sometimes all at once. This was written in the Atlantic, and the story was written on June 24th of this year by Tom Montague. But there's readings, and as you study, what are you building the nation on? When you're saying make America great, or make something a way, what foundation are you building on? What is that representative of? Those Confederate statues and all of the things going on, does that remind people of a bygone era when mankind wasn't quite so good to mankind? I tell you, they was oppressive, or the Assyrians was oppressive and intolerant. What these Indians, the Lacatonians, these Indians on that reservation in Mount Rushmore in South Dakota and North Dakota, all of that area belonged to the Indians or whatever. And those four figures on there, one of them, a couple of them was presidents, they came in and slaughtered those tribes and slaughtered those North Dakotians or whatever. And that's what they remember about that. That's why they want to destroy Mount Rushmore or whatever. You know, God told you about images and likenesses and the people that we worship. And sometimes we have to find out, where does that worship come from? Or was it built on the backs of? Or where did this originate from? You know, a lot of people are saying about the cruelty shown to the slaves. The Assyrians were very cruel and destructive. They were very cruel and very destructive. And God looks at people groups throughout the world and throughout life that are cruel and destructive. God says in Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse, Is not Assyria intention to do my wills? No, they're not doing the will of God. These people groups are not doing the will of God, even though Assyria thought God had allowed Assyria to do certain things, but it wasn't in their intent to do it for God. They wasn't working for God. They were laboring for themselves. This was to prosper them. This was because they was evil, because they was cruel, because they were vindictive, because they was intolerant. It says, nor does it plan so in its heart, but instead it is its purpose to destroy and to cut off of many a nations. That's what their purpose. And so I say, God's examining your intentions and the purposes of what you're doing. The Living Version says, he will merely think he's attacking my people as a part of his plan to conquer the world. So they're thinking this is part of their plan and what they're doing. They don't know that God is allowing, God is using them as a tool. The Assyrian was a rod in God's hand that he was using to punish and chastening his people for doing wrong, but he was to turn around and destroy the Assyrian for doing this. In other words, they could do what he wants them to do, but now he's going to punish them for doing what they did do. Because what they did was evil or whatever. He didn't cause or bring about the evil. That was their nature. That's how they was. They wasn't people of God, and their purpose wasn't to please God. Notice that in the 23rd verse he says, he has taken an oath to do it. In other words, from the beginning, God has sworn and told us in his word what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. That's his plan and purpose. And that's why we want to line up with God's word, because he tells us the end from the beginning. He tells us how this is going to end. He tells us what he wants us to line up and how he wants us to line up. What we should be doing. So we should do all in our power to not have any of those characteristics of which God said that he would destroy. That's why he gives us of his spirit, that we would mortify the deeds of the body. We shouldn't hate anyone. Now, you notice how many people that are speaking against that the federal government has adopted and put you in jail and give you longer sentences for hate speech. for speaking hateful things, for inciting different things. If the world would do that, don't you think that their motive and intent is not pleasing God, but it's to make a better world? So God is allowing them to do this, but wouldn't you look from the sideline as a watcher from God and says, yeah, that's good, because we shouldn't hate anybody. We shouldn't speak evil, and we shouldn't speak or do these things. They were selfish, and they were, if you read Hosea 8 and 9, you'll see where they were selfish and self-centered. And people are doing things now for their own self. They're self-centered. You tell people, well, look, wearing a mask is not for your protection. It's also for my protection. It's to help protect my children. It's to help protect my family. You may not get sick. You may be in good health or whatever. But what about my children? What about what I can catch from you? So if I ask you to social distance, I ask you to do this, well, no, I got a right and I got freedom. But your right and your freedom ends where it crosses and intersects and impinge upon my freedom and my rights, right? If you causing me and my family harm. But just as I said, the Assyrian was a proud and hearty people, and God in his word says he's going to bring down the proud and the hearty. So are you an Assyrian? Are you proud and hearty? Because remember we said, how hast thou fallen from the heavens? How hast thou fallen, O Lucifer? Do you supposed to be bringing light, but because of your pride and arrogance, and you're doing the opposite through your arrogance, through your way of life? It says, whom have you defied and blasphemed, and toward whom have you felt so cocky? It is the Holy One of Israel. You have boasted, my chariots have conquered the highest mountain, yes, the peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down the tallest cedars and the choicest cypress trees, and have conquered the farthest borders. I have been refreshed at many conquered wells, and I destroyed the strength of Egypt just by walking and by living. In other words, your military power, your proudness, what made America great, the Industrial Revolution and the modernization of technology and weapons that we strengthen, we can destroy any nation, we have nuclear weapons, we have all these things. Well, that boast is in yourself and not as in of God. You may use God as a covering, a shield. You like the church at Sardis, you have a name. You said, God bless America, God is with America, whatever. You might be operate under a religious premise, but you may not be religious. Because you remember, faith is a belief or a structure in how you live and in your belief system. So that's why God called them a hypocritical nation. You saying one thing and you doing another. Your heart's far away from God. So if God's calling his people out of the world, he's calling his people for a purpose, and that purpose is to do his will. We should be doing the work of God and not the work of Satan. We should have the characteristics and the image and likeness of God. That's what our waking work is to do in the morning when we wake up. At some time or another, we have to be about our Father's business. I told you about that a week or two ago, that when Mary was looking for Jesus and Jesus was in the temple, he was talking with the doctors and the Pharisees and the scribes, and he says, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And I told you, she had kept that in mind, even though Jesus went back and was subject unto them until he grown up. And as he grown up, when he started preaching, that put a division between him and his family. And that's why Jesus said, I've come not to bring peace but a sword, because your religious beliefs may move you away from your family. It may cause divisions in your family or whatever, because the stronger you get in God, the stronger you get in Christ, the more your family may pull away from you, because they want to hold that old belief structure that they were trained in. They want to hold those Assyrians of the gods of the world in which they had learned. They're not growing in the grace and knowledge and understanding of God, and it's going to cause a division in the family. It's causing divisions. You saying, that this and that. And we see a lot of the children nowadays, and I was telling you a couple of weeks ago about George Wallace's daughter and her grandson and her children that were saying, well, why did Grandpa do this? Why did he hate those people? Why did he didn't want them to go to school or do these things? And you must say Grandpa was wrong. Grandma was wrong. This hatred, this bitterness was wrong. We shouldn't hate any man. We shouldn't be segregationists. We should see that all men are created equal. And if we say those statements, we must live that way. We can't say that and live another way. We can't bring another man into bondage. And as Germany distanced itself from Hitler, if you go in Europe or anywhere in over in there, anywhere in Germany, you can't have swastikas. Anything that has to do with what Hitler done, they're trying to erase that past. They're trying to eradicate it because they're calling and saying this was wickedness. This is something that we're not proud of. We can't have that flag. We can't have those things. It reminds us of what my forefathers or my parents did to your peoples. See, that's why when they was killed Jesus and they crucified Jesus, but Jesus says, you are the children of those that garnished the sepulchres and that killed the prophets. It was their parents that killed Elijah and sold Manasseh, who had sold Elisha in half. I mean Isaiah, he sold Isaiah in half. It was those kings and queens. It's the religious movement that has destroyed God's people, thinking they're doing God a favor. Because why? Due to their religion, they get far off of on a tangent and worship other gods. That's why he calls us out of Babylon. In this nation, if you speak against Christians, I mean, if you speak against Christmas, they go say you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ didn't believe in, and his followers didn't have a Christmas or a follow Christmas. That's an invented holiday, Easter, all of these things. This is America invented. It was against the law to celebrate Christmas in the United States of America at one time because they knew all this was pagan. And that's one thing the Assyrians was. They was given to pagan, idolatrous religion. We have to watch idolatrous religion. We become Assyrians. You see, because Assyria knew what the word of God is, they had heard the word of God, and God told Jonah, you go down there to Nineveh and you preach God's word and says he could destroy Nineveh. And Jonah says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. With the powerful preaching of Jonah, Nineveh, the whole city, repented and turned away where God didn't destroy Nineveh. But that same city got away from God's word. Just think, if God had sent a preacher to preach his word, they heard the word and turned away. The whole city was fasting and had the animals placed on a fast, and that they were all turned toward God. God didn't destroy the city. But that same Nineveh, that's Assyria. That's what Assyria is. Those are the Assyrian people. That's what I'm reading to you out of Nahum 3:19, that God had saved them once, and now God rises up and says, I'll destroy Assyria. See, God had saved his people out of Egypt, but those same people, he says, I'll destroy, and every one of your carcasses are dropping in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. Moses, you've been disobedient to me. You spoke against my word. You didn't listen. You can't go in the promised land. Not that Moses wasn't saved, but that Moses had disobeyed what God had told him. He said, you can go look, but you can't go in. We have to watch transgressing God in our lives. We have to watch what other people put us up to. Let no one, no, your children, your parents, or no one get you to turn against what you know God had said do. He told Moses, speak to the rock, and Moses smote the rock. If God's speaking to you, you know Satan can work through your children or someone else to get you to do something. Oh, mama, you old-fashioned or this and that, that. Do what God says do. That's what Mary says. Whatever he say do, you do it. That's why we need a relationship where God's word is alive in our lives. So when your wife turn on you, when your children turn on you, when everybody turn on you, your belief is in God, you being led by the Spirit of God. And he said, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You have to be able to stand up on God's word and know that it's God that's leading and teaching you. That yoke's going to be broken off you. We talked a couple of weeks ago in Genesis 27 and 39. It's a hard fought battle, but one day you're not going to be in slavery. God's going to break the yoke. God breaks the yoke of slavery. God's break the yoke of all these things. When you're talking about making America great, I'm looking at all these Confederate generals and all these people who had in bondage, my people, who had in bondage and given us slavery and a hard fought battle, and it was hard, but God broke the yoke. God broke the yoke where there was a black president of these United States of America, in which the majority of the nation turned against him, and they would rather have a Confederate general, Robert E. Lee or something, that was treason. You know, those generals and a lot of those Confederates, they fought against the United States in the Civil War. That was a fight against what's right. A lot of the veterans and people, I read it in the thing this morning, a lot of the veterans nights of AD, the veterans group is coming up now, and they're saying the president is the biggest traitor. It is. He's more of a Benedict Arnold than Benedict Arnold was. And now these are a lot of people that had voted for him and went for him. That's why I say you have to be careful, because you can get up so high and God can empower you. It was the evangelicals that placed him in the White House, but you can get up so high, whatever, till you think your pride and your haughtiness, watch it, you could be brought down mighty quickly. You could be brought down mighty quickly. You better watch the company you keep. He says, but you shall live by your sword and serve your brother. However, it shall come a time when you will break loose, and you'll break loose once you get rid of that hatred. So you don't hate your brother, but God had set us free. God had set us on equal footing. So that's why I say those that are out there protesting and going against this through anger and hatred, they're not of God. So don't just say just because the whole group, black lives of all of these people, everybody within that group don't have the same motivation. They don't have the same intentions. We're looking at the ones that are driven by the Spirit of God. That's the one God's talking to. And he says that all races, that's why this thing is worldwide, because in Britain, in Sweden, in Australia, Germany, and all these nations, what the Assyrians used to do when they would capture a people, and that's why the tribe of Israel, they call them the lost tribe of Israel, they would scatter the people, they would take them away from their lands and place other people in their lands. And God scattered Israel through the Assyrians. Is there a people group that you know that enslaved and in bondage of people and took them to another land and caused them to be oppressed and hard worked and endured and put them in captivity? That people group is being set free today. God is loosening the bonds of slavery. It's not that they will return to Africa. It's just that they are God's people, that God had scattered his people, and it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to come to consciousness. In whatever race, creed you be of, whatever nationality, whatever male or female, you are a child of God, in that God's blood is shed abroad and in us, that we love all being. So that union is rising up, and it's the anointing that's breaking the yoke. God's Spirit is breaking the yoke, and we should be so bold as to come forward and do the work of God. That's why I say, and we get stronger by doing the work of God. See, that's why a man don't want you to read and don't want you to have knowledge and understanding. And that's why Paul told Timothy to study to show yourself approved. Study God's word. It's able to give you life. It can give you eternal life. It can make you wise unto salvation. Do you know that knowing the word of God and walking therein, that Satan has no power or authority over you? Jesus Christ rose up with all power. You have that power and of authority over Satan. He can only do what you allow him to do to you. Stop letting Satan walk on you. God had created us for good works. He made us the head, not the tail. We should walk in those blessings that God has given us. As I said, Nineveh had heard the word just as Sardis had heard the word. Listen at the church at Sardis. I told you that last week about Sardis. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 7th verse, I think it is. He says, to the leader of the church in Sardis, write this letter. This message is sent to you by the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the 7 stars. I know your reputation. In other words, you have a name that live an active church, but you are dead. You have a name that's alive, but you are dead. You are a nation that was once blessed of God. It says God bless America or whatever, but you're dead. You're dead. Babylon is fallen. You're fallen. But he says, strengthen that which will remain. You remember I told you those were some of the scriptures God was giving me when I came to this church. There are some in the nation. There are some in the church that aren't dead. That God's regenerating. That God's making alive. That's hearing God's word. And that God has repurposed their lives. And they're created for good works. They're created to love one another. Each day they get up and as they pray to God, they say that thy will be done. And as you do the word of God, as you do his will, if you walk therein, he's going to give you strength and he's going to give you purpose for your life. That's the bread that you're laboring for. He says, labor not for the bread that don't satisfy. You're laboring to please God and to be filled by his word. You say, give me this day my daily bread. This bread that you give me that cometh down from heaven. This bread here is the bread of life. This is the Son of God. Give me of your spirit. Give me of your word. This is what vitalizes me. This is what strengthens me. This is what causes me to not love the world, not love the things of the world. This is what brings me out of the world. That's my necessary food. If I can do the will of God, not my own will be done, but his will be done. That's when he's going to cause me to rise above all things. That's when he's going to be able to make me love those that despitefully mistreat me and say all manner of evil against me. That's when I'm going to walk in the blessings of God. That's when I'm going to realize whose I am and what I am and that I should be about my Father's business.
Yeah.
He says, now wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is at the point of death. Your deeds are far from right in the sight of God. Go back to what you heard and believe that first. Hold on to it firmly and turn to me again. Unless you do, I will come upon you suddenly. He had saved Nineveh, and Jonah said, you know, I know you was going to do something like that. Nineveh had repented. That's what he's telling you, to turn back to the condition he found you in. When you turn to God, when you first turn to God, you was on fire for God. Turn back. Yeah. That spark, that little ember, he can give it life. He can cause you to live again. If a tree is chopped down, Job asks, can it live again? But by watering that tree, you know, I was dead once, but Christ has given me life. He's given me hope. This hope can't dissipate. A lot of the things I've hoped in, I told my wife the other day, I'd be saying things with hope that all this hope was lost. But now that my hope is in Christ, this hope can never be lost. It can't be made ashamed or confounded that this is the eternal hope. This will always be fulfilled. Faith, love, and hope, it'll never go away. Because it's in Christ Jesus. He is eternal. He said, I'll come upon you unexpected as a thief and punish you. Yet even there in Sardis, some haven't soiled their garments with the world's filth. Some people not living like the world. Some people won't allow you to cause yourself to hate others. You know, it says the love of many shall wax cold. Do you know with the leadership we have in this nation, you have people hating other people because that's what the president said. That's what his people are doing, lying and everything. It's no way you can trust anything the leadership in this world says. You can't trust the federal government. We're seeing that the pandemic is rising. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, Sharon Broom was saying the right thing about people wearing masks indoors or whatever inside these buildings. He says, just for a month. You mean you can't suffer for just a month so that this thing could get on the right track? People going out and say, I can't live like this. You're destroying my rights. It's only 2 or 3 months. You can't suffer 2 or 3 months to make this thing right. That's why all of the other nations in the world, Europe has banned American travel. Mexico closed the Arizona border last night, because Americans love their liberty and freedom, and they're not willing to listen at authority. You have the federal government, whereas the president say wear a mask, but he won't wear a mask. You have his experts saying, now look, we can control this thing if we start to wear masks, if we do these things. People no longer go with intellectual learning. People go with what they think, a hunch, or living by their gut or whatever. You can't see someone that don't have good sense when you hear him or see him. God has caused you to believe a strong delusion. He's caused you to believe lies. We are a divided nation. We see that we're not under a leader that unites the nation. He says, mark those that cause division.
Yes.
Mark those that cause division. This racial disunity, that it didn't just come out of nowhere. Somebody had to bring it. If the devil's in the church today, somebody brought him in here. He don't have feet. He can't just up and walk in here. If you rise up against your brother, check yourself. Watch self. Self has got a problem. Self is proud and high-minded. Just because my skin color is different from your skin color. My son was telling me about they went to rent an auger to put up a fence the other day. And the man was talking to him about it. He said, well, don't work that board too hard or whatever. Hear him and his frat brother, same ages, same people together. And he's saying, don't work that board too hard or whatever. Who did this and that? And he says, you comfortable using that language? My son is 37 or 38 here, two 38-year-old men or whatever, and you comfortable using the language that one don't work that board too hard or that boy this and that there? See, sometimes your terminology and language is what infuses you. It makes you rough, you know, because a lot of times I can remember as a young man coming up working with my daddy building houses or whatever. And he's in his 40s or 50s at that time. And young men much younger than him calling him a boy or calling him this and that there. That anger, that hatred has dissipated in me because God broke that yoke. But I can see God balancing and scaling. He's going to destroy everything that's not right. That's why I say he used the Assyrian to put character and place you in a certain place, but he's going to destroy the Assyrian for doing what he did to you. So don't think that it was right and that you're a thorn and say, well, they did that. All those hangings and everything, what's done in the dark, you have to give account for the lynchings that you did. Mistreating people. That's why we need to see what's going on now. All of these popular figures and names, they're looking and they're going to rise up from the grave, as we read in Isaiah 14 chapter. It said that, for thou hast said in that heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High. And he says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of it, that they shall see thee narrowly and look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the cities of the house of the prisoners? All of the kings of the nation, even all of them lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thine grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword. Robert E. Lee, Andrew Jackson, all of these slave owners and everything. Well, you thought you were something. You thought Hitler was something. All of these men throughout, notice that their reputation, what happened. You remember I told you a reputation is something else, and you build a reputation. Now, hacks coming forward. During those days, people looked up to him. During those days, you were slave owners. During those days, you destroyed and you killed the Jews and you did all this. But reckoning time is coming. God swore that he would judge mankind. God said that he would rise up in judgment. We have to be wise master builders and be careful how we build. I can't build on robbing your house and stealing from you. You know, one of the most uncomfortable feelings it is, if you take somebody's husband or wife from under them, if you go with another person, you know you're never going to be safe with that person if you marry that person. Because you always think some old woman will take him from you like you took him from somebody else. Notice that. If you steal, You always try to secure your house and this and that. You're never going to be honest and trustworthy of other people because you know you steal. Many a time, you know, men could be trusted with money. The other day, Brother Jackson was telling me, he said, well, that 40 in there, Daniel sent that or whatever. Can you be trusted? I wouldn't know nothing about it or whatever, but can you be trusted with another man's money? I didn't have to tell y'all that somebody put up this amount of money on the law or whatever. But if you a thief, if you a snake, can you trust anybody in our nation, our leaders and things? That's why in government, in these programs and things, if you can't be trusted with your own money, how are you going to be trusted with somebody else's money? See, that's what happens. If you have a guilty conscience, that people say you projecting what's in you up on somebody else. If you honest and trustworthy and pure of heart, you're not going to be so paranoid about others. But what it is, you transposing, or as they say about our president, you reflecting and you projecting what's in you upon other people. See, that's what the devil is. That demon that's in you, you're not comfortable with yourself. That's why a person that's insecure, they have a problem. The problem is not the other people. The problem is with you. If you're secure in Christ, you know that nobody can take your salvation away. Mm-hmm. That you can't be lost or whatever. So you're not apprehensive about it. You know the surety in Christ or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's why I say our attitudes, our character, and what we're doing, it tells whether we in Christ or not. You see, Jesus didn't get upset. Peter get a sword and get violent or whatever. And but he says, Peter, put that up. If you realize God is sovereignty, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. You shouldn't have to go there and fight with some employee that's making $10 or $12 an hour, a few dollars an hour, and they ask you to put on a mask or whatever. You should respect them and put on a man. Because if you're a Christian, they say, obey those authorities that man has said. You shouldn't be in there going and fighting against an authority that's in power. If the sign is up there, wear a mask, it's the same as the sign says, there's no shoes, no church, no service. Yes. So those that are unruly, who don't obey God, that are brute beasts, and you have leaders and people in government telling people to betray government, betray these things that you're supposed to be, and showing people that they should be subject unto. Tammy Duckworth, one of the senators, said that she was going to hold up all of the federal appointments that the president was trying to do until they give Vittman his promotion. Who is Vittman? Vittman is a Republican. Vittman is the soldier that stood up and said he heard the president said what he said in the Ukraine scandal. He's up for promotion. And this lady is a Democratic senator. She's a Democrat representative. And she said that she wasn't going to vote for any of these things till they do right by him. In other words, they can't hold back his promotion because he stood for the truth. See, that's doing the work of God. How many of us standing for one another, or are you just going along with these things to be going along with them? See, that's what the sacrifice, that's what taking up your cross and denying yourself, that you're not partakers of this world. There are many of God's people that are not strong enough to stand up against the things of the world and go against the world. They're passive. They're naive. God's are looking for fighters, those that are willing to overcome, those that make the sacrifice. Now, he sacrificed a whole lot and he stood, but I see others standing with him. Are we like that? Are we standing for one another? Knowing that when the Spirit comes, we worship the Spirit and truth no matter what it costs us. A lot of us say, this will cost my job, but this will cost me. It may cause a relationship with your spouse. It may cause a relationship with your children or whatever. But are you going to stand in the truth? Are you going to worship God? And see, to worship is to work for God. It's to praise God. It's to do what God wants you to do. So we are all brothers worldwide. And the Holy Ghost, is when it's shed abroad upon us, we stand for one another. They're not just marching for George Floyd here in America. It's across the world they are doing this. That's the brotherhood of mankind. But it's the principle behind it, is that you've had your knee on my neck the whole time. Remember I said it's going to be bitter and hard labor. A lot of the promotions on jobs and in state agencies, you've had to go through affirmative action and other things to get equal pay, to get equal treatment. Well, I shouldn't have to force you by law to make you do what's right by me. You should say, he's just like any other man, he's like any other woman, they have a family or this and that. But it's by the grace of God, it's by God's Spirit that I'm going to treat you the same way I treat everybody else. I don't have to put on your application, what race are you, before I make a determination, shall I let you in this housing project or not? I shouldn't say, well, you don't belong in that swimming pool because you're not the right color. I shouldn't say you shouldn't live in this neighborhood. We need to break those yokes and those bonds. And if we're working for God, the anointing breaks those yokes. Judgment. That's my last point. Judgment. If you fail to follow God's laws, he would remove you from the land. And what's happening now, it's a lot of us living in houses we didn't build. My daughter's living out in Denham Springs on the other side over there in Livingston or whatever. It's some bad things still go on in some of these areas or whatever. But I could tell us, I could remember a time that when you crossed over Denham Springs, you would have to have some kind of protection of the police or something. Whatever, and then if you had the wrong police, because that's what the fight is about. These people take jobs as police, and when you take that oath, that's why it says you're a hypocrite. It's to protect and serve. It's not to protect some and serve others. It's to protect and serve all. So if they, the ethical thing to do. So now it's a lot of us living in places that God, and that's the thing about immigration and what our president is saying. They're taking our job. Well, I don't think it's your job. I think the job is open to qualified applicants. Your daughters and things trying to change things. Say, well, it's through the experience of this and that. You saying a whole lot, but I think the job should go to anyone who applies for the job, who's able to do the job. And it's not that the Hispanic is taking your job, but this person is taking. It's nobody's job until it's given. And if they're working as working unto the Lord, it's God who's doing all these things. So, but when we start looking at race, when we start looking at us, me, my, I, and all those, we got a problem there. It should be we. It should be us as a people, as a children of God. That's why we see nation is rising up a nation and ethnic against ethnic. But notice that the leaders are falling by the wayside because why? You're causing divisions by doing that. You're causing divisions. So in 2 Kings 17 and the 24th verse, the Jews of Jesus, they considered the Samaritans to be a mongrel people. both racially and religiously. The bloodlines were mixed, and they would call the Samaritan people dogs. And that's why Jesus, he said, I must needs go through by Samaria. That's where he met the woman at the well. And she says, your people don't mix with my people, and they wouldn't drink water. She said, if you knew who it was asking you for water, you'd give me water, because you'd ask me for water, and I'd give you the water of everlasting life. He started preaching to her. You notice that he didn't separate from her. He started preaching to her. And he says, it's going to come a day that you not only worship me on this mountain, but you shall worship me in spirit and in truth. He went there and united the Samaritans of all things. He talking to a woman. Men didn't talk to women like that in public by themselves, but here he is preaching to a Samaritan woman. So it makes no difference. It makes no difference. The Assyrian was just a tool in God's hand. So slavery and these other things was a tool in God's hand. You know what? That's inspiring a whole lot of young blacks today. It's inspiring a whole lot of young whites, Hispanics, and everybody else. All these was tools to bring you to the point that you do like, you remember the Popeye series? Popeye? Brutus would be pounding and beating Popeye and pounding and beating Popeye, and all of a sudden a can of spinach would pop out, and Popeye said, that's all I can take, and I can't take no more, I can't stand no more. You can push a person past a point, and this nation has been pushed past a boiling point. It's a point where they're not taking any more. The people are not taking any more. We shouldn't take any more of the world. We should come out of the world. We hear God calling us, and we should see, you know, this is how the world is, and look how much of the nation fighting against getting right. Just think, if this was a Christian nation, if America actually was a Christian nation, why such a hard fight for what's right? You don't think this is a right principle? You don't think this is right? Why would your president lead you against something that's also right on the surface in a secular way, and we know religiously this is what's right? He says, O Syria, the rod of my anger and the staff in my hand. Let's read it in the Living. You have the King James. It says, Assyria is the whip of my anger. His military strength is my weapon upon this godless nation. Doomed and damned, he will enslave them and plunder them and trample them like dirt beneath his feet. But the king of Assyria will not know that it is I who sent him. And he's doing that, and he's not knowing that God's allowing him to do it. And God allowed, don't think Donald Trump could have got elected if God didn't want him in there. So God allowed him to place him in here to be able to push the button that he pushed. In other words, he didn't throw this religious thing, and I'm sure it's a lot of people that say, you should have left these religious matters alone and let them go the way they was going. See, sometimes you could stir the pot, and when you stir the pot and that thing start cooking and cooking, you can't take it off. Once that pot gets to cooking, you can't take it off. It's to a boiling point. It's going to continue to cook it. Anybody cook noodles or spaghetti or anything? My wife had cooked some the other night. She was cooking a pasta salad or whatever. But what happened was, when she put him in the sink or whatever, she just ran a little water over him and left him, forgot she was going doing something else. But what happens in those cases? Huh? She came back in there and those things was mushy. Because even though the water ran crossed out along the top, women know that you have to take that and strain and shake it or whatever, they will continue to cook. That fire still burning. It that just as hot as you barbecuing or something, and you let the charcoal go out on top. If you rake that thing up, that's why a lot of you seen the garbage truck on the news the other day that caught on fire, whatever. Though that fire will come back up, those coals are still very hot on top. It looks like it's not doing anything. Well, that racial pot has been cooking and cooking, and it reached the boiling point. That's what God's saying. These things reaches a boiling point. That COVID, they was talking about it. New York is not allowing people from other states. They say you got to quarantine before you come there because they know that that COVID is ready to boil back up. And it's coming back up. Louisiana was going down. Now it's coming back up because you've loosened the rules. When you loosen God's rules, sin prevails. When you loosen your vigilance on the coronavirus, what happened? You can't fight a pandemic. It spreads and spreads even more. 2 weeks ago, the nursing home my brother's in, they called and says, no patients had it, and only one employee had it. Last week, two employees had it, one patient. They called yesterday, day before yesterday, three employees and seven patients. Because it's like a rotten apple. That's in the church, and that's why it says strengthen. If you don't get yourself on fire, those naysayers and negative and faith blockers before you, they will pull your battery down. People in that same apartment complex or whatever, that's going to spread to you. They not doing it, and after a while, they're going to have you to where you're not doing right. You get somebody on a job that's lacking or don't want to work, for long, he going to have everybody where they don't want to work or don't want to do anything. You have to keep that fire burning. You have to keep stoking it. Stoke yourself with the Word of God. Stay on fire with the Word of God. So God used the, and we see where Isaiah will start to tell him about the moral standing of the nation, and that God was bringing them down because it had declined and it had become idolatry. And that's what I said. This nation has become idolatrous. The moral standing is gone. The 10th chapter begins with a war against the government, its princes, judges, and administrators who use their powers to crush the needy, pervert justice, and line their own pockets. Sounds like today's nation, doesn't it? It sounds like today's world. That government is no longer dependable. Your religious leaders are no longer dependable. The things that you used to can count on, you can't count on. But can I recommend Jesus to you?
Yes.
You can always count on him.
Yes.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Yes. David says he has never seen the righteous seed begging for bread.
All right.
He'll take away all worries and anxieties. Going through this COVID, going through these protests, going through what the nation is now, don't you think you should be outside of it so you won't be a partaker of it? You think you should come out of the world and come unto God and work and labor for him? When he says come out of it so you won't be a partaker of, in other words, you have to pull off the world. Remember we talked about clothing and pulling off this? So we have to pull off being violent and disruptive and talking bad things and saying the wrong thing. We have to pull off being cruel, drinking of the cup of the world, love of the world, physical attitudes and abuse of others. We have to put on kindness and gentleness. We have to put on the things of Christ to be robed in him. The conclusion is, what was the dominant attitude of the people in Israel? What's your dominant attitude? What's your disposition? Are you one that tries to bring light to a situation? Are you a light bringer? Don't let anything stop you from being a light bringer. That's what he says. If you lose that salt, if you lose that light, you're no longer good for anything. Don't hide that light. Let that light so shine that men would see your light and give glory to God. He would see that light shining. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you. Do you have that positive reflection? See, Lucifer stopped allowing his light to shine, and he starts shining it on himself. You know, people say, oh man, he's trying to shine. In other words, you want to be the star of the show. Don't try to build your reputation up. If you work and shine and labor for God, He's going to give you glory. He's going to give you a standing in the nation. People going to talk about you when you don't realize that they see something in you that's not in them, that's not in everybody else. You just stand for God. Rejection of God's laws causes a lowering. If we would walk by faith in God's laws, walk in his way, look for justice, not injustice. That's what the nation is full of, and that's why God has to judge a nation, because of the injustices in a nation. We just fired some police officers for taking some pictures of a young man that killed a year ago. Now just think, all of these things that are coming up now, that's gone and passed years and months ago or whatever. This thing with the young lady that was killed in her house, they came in, one cop shot her 8 times or whatever, and the person that they were looking for was already in jail. But they come into her house with a no-knock warrant and shoot her 8 times. This wouldn't have came up if it wouldn't have came up from 3 or 4 states away from that Aubrey had got killed, these people in broad open daylight that took a shotgun and killed him. So just think, God's doing this. Nothing is just happening. These consequences are not happening in a vacuum. God's doing something, and we want to be under the understanding of God. Because notice now, when Isaiah was preaching this, he says, they're going to see these things, but they're not going to be able to see it. They will hear them, but they're not going to be able to hear them. They're going to understand them and not be able to understand. So are you part of those people in the world that are not woke to really what's going on? The spiritual aspect behind it? See, because if you are, you will get tangled up in the world or get tangled up into these things. Even though it looks right on the surface, you might get tangled up in the wrong thing. As we close, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths in which he had set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. It is God himself who had did this. So there is a way that seemed right to a man, but the end is death and destruction. We must question and ask God, what's the path? Each day we must get up and pray to him to lead us and guide us in all truth. See, because when we get self-confidence, and I've been doing this long enough to know, and I know this, and you're going to know too much. God created us to be dependent upon him. We should be dependent upon God. He says, let your request be known to God. In prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. So everything, I got a master. Let me go check with the boss and see what he said to me. I want to be led by his spirit. Because if this thing go wrong, he still will bring me through. Job said, though he slay me, yet I'm going to serve him, because he can make it right on both sides, on this side and the other side. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, bless us in your word and your way, Lord God, that we would do those things that are pleasing unto you, that we lean not to our own understanding.